podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Radzivani for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to finally have back on Zoom the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Sam Jones himself. Sam, you look like you've changed a bit. Your beard style's changed since we last spoke.
Yeah. I grow it in and out, mate. I think it's here to stay. I think it's a winner. And I'm sick of people saying I use Just For Men as well, you know. I don't ever use it. I've never used it in my life. I'm so open about it. Shit that I've ever had. I've never used hair dye in my life. As you can see, there's a few fucking greys in there, but I think I'm going to leave it there for effect.
Firstly, how's the family? How's the little one?
Yeah, good, mate. He's good, mate. He's growing very, very fast. How's your little one, mate? All good?
Everyone's well. Enjoying the weather?
Not particularly, mate. You need a swimming pool for like, I mean, it's meant to be 40 degrees next week. I don't want to be one of those people that like moans about hot weather, but 40 degrees is by far too hot. It's no, thank you. But it is what it is. It's only for a couple of days. Everyone will be fine. Drink some water, stay indoors, and everyone will be fine.
No, absolutely. Sam, a lot of hot topics going around in boxing at the moment. So I thought I'd obviously ping you a message to get your thoughts on some of them. Let's start off with yourself firstly. What is the latest with Probellum? When can we expect? I know there's a couple of shows coming up, but what can we anticipate in these shows over the coming weeks?
Yeah, Pat McCormack having his second professional fight on Channel 5. Massive audience on Channel 5. Lisa Whiteside, been out 3 years. She's going to be on that show. And there are going to be shows and a lot of news to be announced in due course with Pro Bellum. So it's some exciting stuff coming up.
Are you enjoying what you're doing now compared to kind of S-Jam? When you're doing S-Jam, you're almost winding everybody up with your antics and the way you was as a person. But are you enjoying this side of boxing?
Well, yeah, listen, it's been a slow period. It has been a slow period. And like me, I'm grateful in some ways because I've been able to spend some time with my son who's only just turned one. So I'm grateful in that sense. But me, I like to be out there, I like to be doing stuff. And people can say what they like. I'm a boxing man. I love it. I absolutely love the sport. It's been really good to me. I have so much passion. I've got a lot to give. I'm only 33 years old. I've got a lot to give, and there's still plenty more. Unfortunately, I'm going to be annoying people for many more years to come.
I know.
But as for your question, of course, mate, I miss the, I speak to the boys still. Like, I mean, I know it's hard for people to kind of grasp sometimes. So I think that things like that usually end on sour notes. They don't. Adam Morley is my best friend. He is. And the boys I still talk to on a regular basis because they're my guys. Like Johnny Fisher, like, I signed him. Do you know what I mean? I signed most of the guys in that stable. So I can't just switch off my feelings. Do you know what I mean? I wish that, and as I say, like I'm there for them no matter what. But I do miss it, yeah, because I'm fighter first, and I've always been that way.
I know you had kind of a growing stable with S-Jam, but just on a couple of the fighters, I know you're close to most majority of them. You're a man who look after your fighters and make sure your fighters come first. But recently announced, Florian Marku finally gets his opportunity to take a fight back home in his beloved nation of Albania.
Yeah. I'm very happy for Florian. He's been wanting that for so long. I mean, I had a good relationship with, listen, me and Adam have done we did a great job for Florian. He was out, he was active. He was fighting on different platforms at one time. One time he was fighting on BT, then he was over on with Eddie on Sky. But I had a great relationship. Well, I have a great relationship with 258. So shout out 258 because they got him on both of the Anthony Joshua's last two cards. So Florian's profile was rising in this country. He was already a star in Albania, but it was always about making him a star over here as well. And I think that I've personally played a big part in that. I mean, me and Adam have been great. We work well, very well together. But I personally played a big part in that. And it's very, very, I can sit back and be very happy watching Florian fill a stadium in his homeland because he deserves a homecoming.
Joe Joyce, a couple of weeks ago, I know he was out after that hand injury against Christian Hammer. Yeah. But would it please you now to finally see him get one of those big boys now? I know he's ranked.
He needs one. Listen, mate, he needs one. he needs one now. It's not a secret how much work I put into Joe Joyce. I mean, as I say, that he's still one of my closest friends in this world, and like, I want to see him do well. I mean, Hammer, people, as I say, Warren. Listen, Frank Warren's. I know you look at Dubois, and yes, it can be a bit frustrating. You look at Dubois fighting Trevor Bryan for the vacant, but like, I personally don't really consider. It's another subject, but like, I consider how you won the belt and who you won it off. To legitimize that title, I don't consider Trevor Bryan a world champion. Johnny Fisher would beat Trevor Bryan, no problem. Any one of the S-Jam guys would beat Trevor Bryan early as well. So I don't consider him like a world champion. But yeah, you can see some people say, oh, Dubois gets treated better than Joe. But listen, they had a deal with Joe Parker. I know this for a fact. They had a deal with Joe Parker ready to fight, and Joe Parker backed out of the fight. I mean, anybody knows in boxing, if you want to make a fight easy, like, and you're a free agent, just do it on the channel that Joe's contracted to fight on, and the fight's done. And he's gone and signed with a rival promoter. And listen, fair enough, but to do that right when you've agreed a fight, it shows you don't want the fight. Years and years ago, I love Joe Parker, by the way, but this is just the facts. But years ago, when Joe was training at David A's gym, Joe Parker was preparing for Anthony Joshua there, and he was there ages before the fight, and we offered him free sparring. Do you know what I mean? Free sparring from is hard to get, never mind paid sparring, but free sparring is priceless. He didn't want to spar Joe. So I always known he never want to fight Joe. Never. He never wants to fight Joe, and I don't believe he ever will fight Joe unless it's for a world heavyweight title. I just don't think he wants any of that Joe Joyce smoke.
You feel like August 20th is an important date, because I know obviously Joshua Usyk get it on, and we'll come on to that a little bit later, but we find out what's going to happen with the WBO, with the WBA, who goes first, you know, does Fury come back? Do they get an exception? Is that the main important date before Joe can kind of announce his next?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't want to just say this, but like, it's like Tyson will say one thing and then the next day he'll say another. I genuinely don't believe he's going to retire. I mean, Tyson wants to be regarded, which he's more than capable of, by the way, as the greatest of his era. And I believe what he's achieved so far, he's already got a shout of that. But he needs to beat AJ, he needs to fight AJ, he needs to fight Joe Joyce, he needs to fight these up and coming heavyweights. Obviously, you don't go on forever, but definitely the heavyweights in his era, he needs to fight, in my opinion. But look, listen, if he wants to retire, fair play to him, he's got hundreds of millions in the bank. He doesn't really need to, but I'm talking about if he wants to cement his legacy as the best of this era, that's what I believe he has to do. So I think we will see Tyson Fury in the ring again. And if he doesn't want to box again, you need to vacate the belt and let the other boys fight for it.
A man who doesn't want to retire, Derek Chisora, we saw him last week getting that close decision win over Kubrat Pulev. What do you make of Chisora's performance first, Sam?
Do you know what? I've developed a real, like, an affection towards Derek over the last year or so. He's like one of a kind, isn't he, Derek? I really wanted him to fight Joe years and years ago, but like I believe Joe would be, he's all wrong for kind of Derek's style, but Derek really is one of these people where if the money's right, he'll fight you. He's not turning down somebody. If the money's right, Derek will fight somebody, and like he's like one of a dying breed, because when he says, oh, he'll fight this guy, oh, I'll fight Wilder, he means it. You can see it in his face. He means it. Like he's one of a kind, Derek. And when he goes, the sport will miss him. He's a, yes, I know he's not won a world title, and yet he's known as this gatekeeper, but he's a legend of British boxing, is Derek. He is. And I was very, very pleased for him that he got the decision. I know people had it. A lot of people had it to Pulev. Some people had it to Derek, but it's about time Derek got a bit of luck, in my opinion. He got dicked when he boxed at Hellenius all them years ago. And he had a very close fight with Joe Parker in the first one. I know he thought he got robbed against Usyk, but I didn't see it like that. I thought Usyk won clear. But Derek deserved that. It's the biggest win of his career. Do you know what I mean? It's the biggest win of his career. And I was very, very happy for him. I do not want him to fight Deontay Wilder, though.
I was going to come on to that. Obviously, Eddie's mentioned it previously after the fight as well. Is that just a no-go zone?
No, not for me, mate. Like if someone should lie in front of the negotiator locker and just ban that all together. I mean, no, mate. Derek don't need that kind of heat at 38 years old. He doesn't need that kind of fight, in my opinion. No, not for me. I think if you care about Derek Chisora and his health and his well-being, you do not put him in with arguably the biggest puncher of all time. No.
Okay, Sam, a lot of talk this week at a potential fight between a certain Chris Eubank Jr. And Conor Benn. I know it's not officially confirmed. You know, I've heard Gareth Davis go on to say it is signed. Conor's come out and said, you know, nothing's been finalised just yet. Is it a sensible fight?
See, right, I said this fight was done a while ago, before Gareth A. Davis said this. I said this, but like I've heard it's been almost a done deal for a while now. I don't know. I'm hearing there's an announcement next week. Listen, it's a huge fight. It is a huge fight. It makes both men millions of pounds. Yeah. It carries on the legacy their old man left. It's got everything. And like I say, if you don't want to watch it, or you think, oh, it's just for the money, like, which, listen, if it is, then fair play to them. Boxing is a short career. Earn while you can. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a great fight. It'll be a great spectacle. And believe me, those tickets will sell out in seconds. Because I've said, I'll be asking Eddie and Frank Smith for a freebie, and hopefully they'll give me one. But if not, I'll buy a ticket because I want to see this. I really want to see this. I've heard Connor's doing really well in sparring against bigger men, and he's you only have to see Connor's improving. I've been a big, like, not like negative towards Connor Benn, but like you can't complain that of him now. Do you know what I mean? Like he's going up and he's fighting Chris Eubank. I mean, it's just a great fight, mate. It's a great fight. Chris Senior shirt, no sleeves on his shirt. Nigel Benn coming in from Australia. You can have Roy Jones Jr. at the press conference table. Mate, this fight's got fucking everything. I can't wait to watch it. Proper gas to see it all. I want to see the build-up. I want it to be like the old HBO, 24-7, the build-up. I can't wait to watch it, mate. As a fan, I cannot wait to watch it. If you don't want to watch it, don't want to pay for it or whatever, just don't watch it then.
Sam, some of the criticism coming towards both Junior and Benn is Junior's talked about becoming a world champion. I know he won that IBO belt, but not many regard that as a legitimate world title. But he should be focusing on the elites of the middleweight division or super middleweight division, while Conor Benn, I'll come to Joe Gallagher's comments in a moment, but he hasn't even gone 12 rounds in his professional career yet, and it could be a very, very dangerous fight.
I think he went 12 rounds once against Formella, didn't he?
Correct.
Was that once, or it might have been a 10-rounder, I don't know, but he'd done that fight at a ferocious pace as well, if you watch that fight back. Yeah. Formella's not an elite fighter, he's not really a world-class fighter, but he's a good fighter, do you know what I mean? He's not a bad fighter, and he's still... are we talking about Joe Gallagher's comments?
Yeah, a bit of both.
First of all, congratulations to Joe Gallagher yesterday. Great win with Mark Heffron. I was very, very pleased for Mark Heffron. I didn't think Lennox Clark performed very well, but Mark Heffron performed out of his skin and he deserved it. Do you know what I mean? Three times. That was his third attempt at a British title. So fair play to him. And listen, Joe Gallagher is one of the country's greatest ever trainers, people like it or not. Even whatever's opinion, people's opinions on him is, he's one of the greatest trainers ever. Look, he's a serial winner, isn't he, Joe Gallagher? Serial winner. But moving to his comments, I thought he was very unfair on his comments there, because I mean, people jumping up weights stuff. Natasha Jonas, I know it was world title stuff, but she jumped up like two weights. Like, do you know what I mean? It was her first fight at that weight. It's like, it happens. You know what I mean? It happens. I mean, Conor Benn is managed by Tony Sims. Tony Sims is, do you know what I mean, cares about all of his fighters. You know what I mean? They're all like family to him. He's not going to put Conor Benn in a fight if he thought, or he could get seriously hurt. He will fancy Conor Benn against Chris Eubank. Me personally, I think Chris Jr. is the favourite in the fight, because if Chris Jr. had shown signs that he's a bit chinny, I would think, wow, Conor's got a great chance, because Conor can really wallop. But Chris Eubank Jr. has shown he can be outboxed, but he's never shown once that he's wilted, like with a shot or like he's... That's why I think the fight's so difficult for Conor. But saying that, on the other scale, the weight I'm hearing is 156 or 158. That's going to favour Conor, in my opinion, because Chris Eubank Jr. has never made that weight. So it's a massive fight. But yeah, but going to Gallagher's comments, I think he compared it to like, oh, we're moaning about YouTube boxing. Mate, come on. You can't compare Chris Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn to fucking Jake Paul and what's his name, Gibb, whoever he boxed on his debut, or like Logan Paul and KSI. You cannot compare. These are legitimate fighters, you know what I mean, with fight blood running through their veins, you know what I mean, of who they're from, and like they're both fighters at the end of the day, and they're going to make millions of pounds. We can't begrudge them for that, and it's going to be a great spectacle. I really, I'm quite across excited, but I genuinely can't wait for that fight. Cannot wait for it to all be announced, the press conference, everything. Really looking forward to it. I think it's good for the sport. You know, Eddie, so going to Gallagher's comments, I do think he was very, very harsh.
You know, Eddie's been trying to land a big fight for Conor, and he struggled because most of those big fighters are with PBC. And we know Eddie's relationship with PBC. We saw it recently when he tried to make Chisora Kolnacki, that fell apart straight away. Was this Eddie's kind of only choice for Conor to give him, land him a big fight?
Do you know what it is, right? This is my personal opinion, being like people say, like, I will just say it how it is. If Conor box, say, someone like Jaron Ennis, yeah, Ennis, in my opinion, is a big favourite in that fight, yeah? He's going to be, my opinion, Jaron Ennis is going to be the best 147-pound fighter in the world in the next 18 months. He'll be number one in the division, yeah? Once the Crawford-Spence thing is out of the way, I think Errol will move up. Maybe Terence will move up, but I think Boots is the future of the division. If Conor boxed him, yeah, and lost quite badly.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
That's a silly thing. You can rebuild him, but he'll have to go on maybe fight at a domestic level, fight at the some of the domestic, the Congos, the McKinsons. Like, you'll have to fight those, and I don't think that's really what Conor wants to do. It's never what he wants. Kind of, he skipped it. He's skipped this kind of level. He wants to, because he's got this high ranking. So what do you do with him now? Chris Eubank Jr., all the history there, they needed a mega fight. This is that mega fight. If Conor loses, he's too big. Do you know what I mean? There's a ready-made excuse there. He won't lose his ranking with the governing bodies. He can go straight back down into welterweight, crack on into another super fight. Do you understand what I mean? There's no real loss here for Conor, unless he gets spanked in one round, which I very much doubt. But I believe Eubank will still be too big, even though the weight's there, and the fact he's got a good chin. And Conor, there's still question marks over him. Do you know what I mean? The last time he was in with someone that can punch a little bit was Cedric Payne. Do you know what I mean? So, and he's been very carefully matchmade. I mean, that's just the facts, in my opinion. But I've always said this: Conor Benn has all the, you can see he's got all the tools to potentially be a superstar in boxing. He can punch, he can talk a good game. He's got everything. So I just think that's why they're taking this fight, because it's like, although it's risky in the sense of fighting the bigger man, it's non-risky in the sense of it won't damage him commercially if he loses to Chris Eubank. It'll only enhance him. It's like, oh, he's big balls, he's moved up in weight, but he was just too big. Move back down to welterweight and there's your division there. He's got his mega fight there with Chris Eubank. I think it's very sensible business from Matchroom. I think it's very sensible for both guys. I mean, the person that's got the most to lose in this is Chris Jr., because if he loses to Conor, who's a welterweight, where does he really go? He probably has to retire, 33 years of age. But listen, there's millions on the table, and we know Chris Eubank Jr., like most prize fighters, they like a pound note. So we can't begrudge them in this fight. But that's my honest opinion and my view on that fight. But if you're a boxing person, you cannot wait for this fight to start. The press conference alone is fucking box office, mate. I can't wait to watch it. But yeah, that's my opinion of that. Whether people agree or not is up to them, but that's my opinion.
Sam, is it though disappointing that we haven't seen Conor with the likes of McKinson, the Congos, Josh Kelly's before was his defeat?
Florian Marku. I wanted to make the Marku fight. I thought that would have been a great fight. I mean, look, this was my, that was my issue with Connor. I promise you, I like him. Like, I've sent him a message of the day. Like, I really like the kid. But sometimes I think that he's I don't know, like, he didn't want to fight Echo Esserman because Echo Esserman was beneath him. I kind of get it. It's not mega money for him. Florian Marku, oh, he's above Florian Marku, but that fight would have sold out the O2 Arena. I don't want to fight Josh Kelly because he lost to Avanesyan, but doesn't want to fight Avanesyan. I just kind of thought, but no one could really say shit to him now because he's fighting Chris Eubank. He's going up there and he's fighting Chris Eubank, but I still think very smart business move. But yes, mate, in an answer to your question, I do think it's disappointing that he's never competed for a British title. I know he did want to at one stage against Jenkins, and there was like it was because of the promotional situation. So he did kind of want to box for it, but he still had opportunities to box other kids in division. But what people need to realise is boxing is a business. And when you've got smart people around you that are telling you, look, Connor, maybe we need to do this because it's going to be better for you commercially and ultimately it's going to be more lucrative for you, they've made the right decision. Because, I mean, look what they've done a great job with Connor Benn. No one can deny that. They've done a great job with him. But it comes a point, especially with the British fans, they will only accept it for so long, the gimmick kind of fights, like the Algiers, that who's 39, and that Van Heerden. They'll only accept it for so long. They needed a mega fight. And although I know names like Maurice Hooker was being mentioned for him, Maurice Hooker is a top-level fighter, world-class fighter, but he's 140-pounder, and ultimately he's not got a very big profile. Avanesyan has a bigger profile than him. So if you fight him, it's like, well, why didn't you fight... They needed something massive, and the 147-pounders are with PBC. This is a huge fight. This is a huge fight. I know I'm going around the houses a little bit, but it's a massive fight. And anyone that kind of tells you otherwise doesn't have a clue what they're talking about.
Sam, let's move on. We're approaching just under 6 weeks away from one of the most important heavyweight fights in recent times. Anthony Joshua attempts to reclaim the belt and become a three-time heavyweight champion. I don't want to focus too much on the fight because we can do something a bit closer to the time. But DAZN announced that this lucrative deal that DAZN had captured Anthony Joshua for a long period of time. They gave him ambassador roles or some
sort of company. Kylian Mbappe deal.
Yeah, basically the Mbappe deal. But rumors are that his fight with Usyk is not going to land on DAZN and it's going to land on Sky Sports. What do you make of all of that?
From my understanding, from very early doors, is that it was never Eddie's decision or anyone's decision where that fight was landed on. It was always going to be the Saudis' decision because they bought the rights to the fight. So it is what it is. I mean, listen, AJ, even if he loses this fight, is still Anthony Joshua and he's still the biggest, well, definitely top two biggest stars in British boxing. Maybe you say he's top five in boxing in general, in world boxing. He's a commercial phenomenon. So I still think there's massive fights from Dillian Whiteridge. But we're talking a bit as that he's a beaten man. I still think he can beat Usyk. Do you know what I mean? With the right tactics, a good big man will always be a good little man. But even though Usyk's a phenomenal little man, I do think Robert Garcia is a phenomenal trainer. I think he's the right type of trainer with kind of the aggressive mentality. With the right tactics, I believe AJ can do it. But ultimately, you've probably got to make Usyk a favourite due to the fact of what happened in the first fight. He won so convincingly. But I do think that was a lot, even though Usyk was brilliant, I do think that was a lot down to the fact the tactics from Joshua were pretty poor. But yeah, mate, great fight. Really looking forward to it. And I really want Anthony Joshua to win.
But Sam, didn't you find it strange that DAZN announced a deal that didn't include the most important fight for Anthony Joshua?
I think maybe the timing of the deal. Do you know what I mean? Maybe the timing of the deal. Maybe that was probably unnecessary to announce until maybe after the fight, win, lose or draw. So maybe then, because it kind of... But it's like, even though Sky... Listen, it's good for Sky because they want the right... Listen, they want put it on box office and stuff. It's good for Sky, but like... Why would you want to be so desperate to buy like a fight that you've got real no involvement with AJ after the fight? Like, do you know what I mean? But that's just my opinion. Boxing's a mad place at the moment, mate. So I don't really know. But ultimately, Sky have got a huge fight on their hands. And listen, it's a competitive market nowadays. And Sky have felt that that's the route they want to go down. They want to secure the rights. I know, and it looks as though, I'm not aware of whoever it goes on. I mean, because I'd watch it on any fucking platform. It doesn't matter whether Anthony Joshua could box on fucking Babe Station and people would still tune in to watch it. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter with AJ, in my opinion. He's already his profile's already massive. It's not, his profile can't really get any bigger in boxing. So you can see why he's took the DAZN deal, because they've offered him the most money. But it's back on Sky. Yeah, boxing is a mad game at the moment, mate. It really is. But ultimately, it's pound notes that count, and Sky's obviously bid the most. And so what if he? I mean, I don't know, mate. I don't know. Nothing's been confirmed yet. But strong reports suggest that it's going to be on Sky. So good luck to him.
Sam, we've always said the more promoters, the more networks, the better for fighters. I just want to ask you, a lot of criticism recently. Obviously, we've got Wasserman, Channel 5, we've got yourselves, we've got BT, we've got DAZN, we've got Sky. A lot of promoters, a lot of channels, but a lot of criticism coming towards the shows itself. The cards are running thin. The arenas are half empty. Yesterday, it didn't seem like a big crowd on TV. I think Chisora did about 5,500 last week. So What do you think is down to? Is it too many platforms now? Are we going to complain that there's too many platforms?
This is what I think. Yeah, there is a lot of platforms. There's also like not so much elite talent, and there's lots of kind of choices, which is the reason why promoters having to pay up a lot more money, which is great for fighters. So I'm happy for the fighters on that front. But until promoters work together to make to make great fights, you will continue to get diluted shit cards in boxing. That's just the bottom line. You'll get some great ones, but you'll get a lot of shit ones because a lot of promoters are reluctant to work together, and that's not going to help change boxing. Boxing needs people to work together to create good fights and make the best fights. And as I say, until you see that, you will continue to get diluted shit.
Sam, is it promoters or is it networks? You know, would networks allow you?
It doesn't matter. It's a lot to do with egos. There's a lot of egos in boxing, yeah? You move your egos to the side and you do what's best for the fighter. You make great fights. Like, what cross networks is like, Crawford was never able to fight Spence because he was with Top Rank and Spence was with the PBC. Do you know what I mean? Wilder and Joshua, he was with the PBC. We all wanted to see that fight, didn't we? Remember that time when Joshua... come over here, oh no, we'll do it on here. We just wanted to see the fight. No one cares about the politics involved. As a fan, you just want to see the best fights. And again, you'll continue to, I mean, listen, there's some shows, last night was a great show, Frank Poirier, it was a really good show. But as I say, that good shows are kind of few and far between. And you get more bad than good, in my opinion, nowadays. And we want to see, we've got unbelievable pool of talent, but they're fragmented into different promotional companies. Let's work together. Let's make the best fights possible for the fans.
Sam, I spoke to Eddie Hearn about 10 days ago, and I asked him, was this the toughest period of his promotional career? Because recently, obviously, Josh Kelly left him. Chris Billingsmith is now fighting on Sky. Cody's putting out certain tweets. There are other fighters that have left as well. Do you feel like this is finally a testing time for Hearn, whereas before it was just Hearn and Warren going at it?
Well, look, Eddie's probably not used to having this happen to him. Do you know what I mean? Like Pete, fans doing that, because he's always been, I'm saying out and out number one, but he's probably viewed as he was the number one. Do you know what I mean? The number one. So he's probably not used to happening. But I think because the market's so competitive, and like what he said, if and a Coley, who's probably not getting the same treatment as a Conor Benn or a Canelo Alvarez, or like, because Eddie's promoting worldwide, do you know what I mean? So like, he's got Canelo Alvarez, he's got the worldwide stable, do you know what I mean? So if they've got a chance, like, listen, this happened with Savannah Marshall, hasn't it? Savannah Marshall was not getting the airtime she probably deserved on DAZN. She's moved over to Sky Sports and she's a superstar now. So listen, that's just how it is sometimes. Eddie's probably not giving him the attention, but listen, if Eddie probably wanted to dig his heels in, he'd be able to keep the likes of a Coley or the Billingsmiths. And no disrespect to like your Billingsmith, but Eddie probably just doesn't care enough about that situation. So it's probably just see you later, here's my hand, and go. I don't really know what's happened with the a Coley relationship, because he's done, like, a, I believe they've done a good job for Lawrence Okolie, but Lawrence obviously believes that he kind of deserves more. And listen, boxing, it is a short career. You've got to make brutal decisions sometimes, and Lawrence is clearly doing what he believes is best for him. And it is what it is at the end of the day. It happens. It happens in boxing. But Eddie's continuing to do what he's doing. Frank's doing what he's doing on BT. Sky have got their thing going on. It's a very competitive market, mate. So, as I say, for fighters, they've got to do what's best for them in a short career. You've got to be selfish as a professional boxer, because your window of opportunity to make some dough is very, very small. So I've learned not to, like, especially in boxing, don't take things personally in boxing. It's not always personal. Got to do what's best for them, the fighters.
Sam, just finally, over the last couple of years, we've had so many of the British world-level fighters retire. Recently, Colin Brook, Belly's gone, Hayes gone, Froch, Groves, Agel, a lot of fighters left. There's a bit of a market there to find out who that next star is going to be outside the heavyweight division. If I was to ask you, outside of your stable, just generally in boxing, name me three fighters you think have the potential power to become superstars. Who would they be?
It's hard to just name three, because there's loads, isn't there? Like in my opinion, there's quite a few. Like, you looked at young Dennis McCann yesterday, Hamza Shiraz. I think he's a very, very good. I think he's a very good, speaks so well. Really, really good. Do you know what I mean? Azeem, he looks like he's got all the tools. Ben Whitaker, Pat McCormack. Jack Catchell hopefully getting a rematch with Josh Taylor. There's so many good young fighters coming through. Boot, are we talking about just in Britain or in the world? Like, just in the UK. Like, we've got a big pool of talent, mate. We've got a really, really big pool of talent, and I think it's long may it continue.
Sam, always a pleasure catching up with my man, and yeah, let's roll on and look forward to some of these shows with yourselves coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's my first one back in a while, isn't it? I think it's months and months. So yeah, hopefully, all good, mate. I've enjoyed it.
People be kind in the comments.
People be kind in the comments. You've not seen before, I'll have the. And I'm also not that fat at the moment. Not that fat at the moment, so people can't come at me for that. But rest assured, I will be fat again for winter. So when people want to come at me with the fat jokes, get them ready for winter, because I'll be fat again very soon.
Sam Jones, IFL TV, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, mate. Sports Social Podcast Network.